Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Last year's draft class, Caleb was the first quarterback taken, right?
Yes.
What about 2021 when Trevor Lawrence went first? You taking Trevor or Caleb?
Caleb.
2020, Joe Burrow or Caleb?
Caleb.
Wow, look at that, Debo. 2019's Kyler, you're taking Caleb there. 2018's Baker, you're taking Caleb there. So you probably have to go back to, I'll go to 2012, Andrew Luck or Caleb?
That's a toss-up for me.
Because
I thought Andrew Luck was one of those generational franchise quarterbacks. But I would be real close, but I would probably go with Luck just ahead of Caleb. But right there, 1A and 1B.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the great man himself, Rick Spielman, the 33rd team with the First Pick podcast. And Rick joins us now on The Score hotline. He is the great teacher of football wisdom. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to be on. And boy, your research team does a lot of digging. They went way back in the fall to get that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
Which I still agree with. I think it's a great pick for Chicago.
See, and that's why you're such a wonderful person to talk to, because you saw this one coming a long time ago. And you know, we were talking about this. The Bears had the first overall pick a year ago, and they traded to Carolina, and lo and behold, they wind up with it again. And we were talking about this idea. If Caleb Williams had come out a year earlier, he'd have been the first pick taken in that draft. And now he's first pick taken in this one. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no. And what chance do you have as an organization to have the number one overall pick 2 years in a row? I can't remember when that's ever happened. So kudos to Ryan and that organization for being able to somehow pull that off. Now, Carolina helped to get the number one overall pick again this year. So it's not – it's a little bit of luck involved too, but kudos to them. And I think they've really set this organization up for the next 10 years to be very, very successful.
So what's the next step in terms of the Bears helping develop a franchise quarterback? They've really never done it successfully before. This regime is relatively new, third season for Ryan Poles. If you had a checklist, if you had a to-do list, what would it look like in terms of how to develop Caleb Williams?
Well, I would go and watch what Houston and Bobby Slowick did down with C.J. Stroud. And don't do, in my opinion, how Carolina handled Bryce Young. And I had an opportunity to speak with a lot of people in Houston, and what they said was, and I watched C.J. Stroud in the preseason, and he looked a little bit like a deer in headlights, just trying to get through his progressions and everything. And then they really tailored it back. And, hey, let's get him to master these 15 plays or these 15 concepts, and then we'll continue to layer on as we go through the season. where what I've heard down in Carolina is they just threw four different systems, the whole playbook into Bryce, trying to make the checks and everything else. And then just kind of, it's almost overwhelming what they try to do with him, and they weren't as talented of a football team. But I think Chicago has, they already have a game plan. I'm sure they'll tailor some things around and spent a lot of time with Lincoln Riley on how we tailor this offense to make sure Caleb has success. So I'm sure that plan is in place. And I think that with everything they were able to accomplish this offseason and even last offseason, they have a more talented team on paper than Houston did last year at this time. And no one saw Houston coming out of the gates like they did and getting into the playoffs. But I think Chicago is really set up like that and in even a better situation for Caleb Williams because of all the offensive weapons they have around them.
Yeah, and they struck again in the first round. I mean, they've got the number one overall pick, and they get themselves the quarterback, and they their own pick was the ninth overall pick. And maybe because of the run on quarterbacks, maybe because of the surprises that were awaiting in the draft, the Bears end up getting Rome Odunze, the Washington wide receiver, at number nine. And you mentioned they've already got DJ Moore. They had given up a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen, and now they add Rome Odunze, and all of a sudden this team that was bereft of weaponry has got some really good receivers to go with the quarterback, to go with the improvement they believe they got at running back and by getting Swift, and they got a couple tight ends. I mean, it just seems all of a sudden like Caleb Williams is going into a professional offense.
Yeah, and I think one of the most underrated signings was Gerald Everett from the Chargers, because he is another offensive weapon, especially in the passing game. So if you do, you look at bringing Swift in, and with Khalil and Roshan, the guys they have in the backfield, I mean, they've upgraded there. They got playmakers all over the field. And I think it makes it easier for the rookie quarterback, because just get the ball in their hands and let them go do what they do, to go make the money they make because of the playmakers they are. What Caleb has to learn, and which will be an adjustment for him, is that you don't have to make every highlight throw down the field on every snap. That go ahead and take the checks down and let Swift go get you 30 yards on the screen, or hit the tight end and let the tight ends do their work and get to 20 yards, and you just threw a little spacing route. So I think once he learns that patience, and he doesn't have to do everything like he tried to do at USC last year, that I think he's going to have a lot of success.
You know, you look at the Bears with all that weaponry you described, and here in Chicago, people are celebrating. Finally, the Bears have grasped and embraced modern-day NFL football. They're going to be a passing team. And then, you know, Rick, in Chicago, you got Matt Eberflus, a defensive-minded head coach, and one of the reasons that Caleb Williams is coming into a good situation is because it's a top-10 defense, potentially, with a chance to improve even more. So from the outside, how do you view the Bears in 2024? Is this an offensive football team? Is this a defensive dominant football team? What's the perception of the Bears now?
No, I think it's a complete football team. And especially when Coach Eberflus took over calling the defense last year and the way they played in the last, I believe, six games, and what a difference that made, him calling, and they've been adding talent. And the trade to get Sweat was huge. I guess if you have to pick one minor hole, I know they traded back up to get Austin Booker, who I think has a lot of talent, but just very raw, and it's going to take some time to develop. Can they maybe potentially add another pass rusher? I know they got Walker, they signed from Tennessee, but can they add another pass rusher to go along with Sweat? But what a difference Sweat made in their defense once they got him aboard. So if you look, I don't know if you can say it's offense or defense. I just think on paper, now we all, you know, paper is one thing, and then the game started in September, but on paper, it looks like they did everything they possibly could over last year and this year to not only compete to win the NFC, but should be a playoff team, in my opinion.
One of the great moments in the draft is after the Bears took Torrey Taylor, he got a text immediately from Caleb Williams telling him, you're not going to be able to pump munch here, which was very funny. But they did invest a fourth-round pick in the great Australian punter from Iowa. Did that surprise you? Do you like that pick? What's your take on Torrey Taylor?
Well, I don't know if you'd ask me. We drafted a couple kickers in Carlson now after he missed three field goals in Green Bay in his second game in the NFL. End up cutting him. Now he's an all-pro kicker, so I don't know if I'm the best expert to ask on punters and kickers. But I know, like I said, they tried to fill as many needs as they could in free agency because they had all the cap space, and they've done that all the last couple of years. Aggressive in trades, getting a Keenan Allen, getting a Montez Sweat, trying to fill those needs. And then they only had four original draft picks this year. So probably they identified that as a need. I know I always relied a lot on our special teams coaches to tell us what we need. And we used to send them out to try to identify the guys that they wanted to work with, because I don't know if there's any GM or scout that is an expert in that area. It's like asking me to analyze your golf swing. You have no chance if you're hiring me as your golf coach. So, even though I've been trying to get better, but don't hire me as your golf coach. And he does have a big leg, and the weather they kick in. So that can be definitely a weapon, if according to Caleb, but apparently it's a wasted pick because they're not going to use him.
Philosophically, though, what is the rationale? Because you look at the Bears, I think fans are more accepting of it because they did move back into the draft and they got the edge rusher they lacked. But when you draft a punter with a fourth-round pick, it's not a sixth or a seventh-rounder, which might be more of a throwaway. What is the rationale for an executive to say, okay, that is a guy that we're going to use? You know, it's pretty high draft pick for a punter.
I don't know, like I said, what was going on. I don't know, because they didn't have any late-round picks. Mm-hmm. If they tried to trade back and couldn't trade back and maybe try to take him in the fifth or sixth round. So I don't know all the phone calls that potentially happened, or maybe they just said, hey, we'll just stay here and take this guy. This is the best guy on our board, and let's go. And they felt that was a critical part. So hard to judge that, because you don't know actually what was going on behind the scenes with calls or trades or anything like that.
You know, what's interesting is you look at that kid and you look at taking him where they took him. You know, I just wonder, Rick.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What else this kid can do? I mean, his punting is unbelievable. He can put the ball on a dime. He can supposedly put it in a trash can any spot along the goal line from the 50-yard line. I'm not joking. He's a circus punter. He could get a sideshow job.
You're watching those YouTube videos. They're not all true, everything you see, Molly. Ever since YouTube was invented, that's all you do is watch those damn YouTube videos, and you believe everything you see on there.
But I'm wondering, could this guy, and I'm just spitballing, does he know how to kick off? And I mean, the new kickoff is so bizarre and it's different. My questions are, can the guy hold? Is he a holder? Can the guy do something, if he can manipulate the ball the way he does as a punter? What's going to happen with this new kickoff rule, another interesting element of special teams upcoming season?
Boy, the inquiry minds want to know, Molly. You dig deep on all this stuff. You're not just the average radio host out there. You want to know the facts. You want to get down to the answers that if this guy is a holder or not. Why would you take him a fourth round if he can't hold?
Right.
I'm sure. So I didn't do the tape, but I'm sure he can hold. Usually punters hold him. He's probably a pretty good holder, although I can't verify that because I don't have to go that deep into my new job now doing this stuff. But the kickoff stuff, it's going to be interesting to see how this works, because all these guys that were very accurate field goal kickers but didn't have a strong leg on kickoffs but were great at placing the ball, whether outside the numbers to the right or to the left, almost like directional punting, I think directional kickoff is going to become critical and huge now too. So it's all up in the air, you know, but as long as this kid can punt the ball into a trash can near the goal line, I'm good with it.
That's a great skill to have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Rick, so given your expertise, given your background, help us understand.
I don't know if I have any expertise left. That was about as deep as I can go.
What were the Falcons thinking in taking Michael Penix Jr., and how were they able to defend that choice?
I can understand. I listened to the press conference and the explanation on the future and things like that. But what took, I think, everybody back was you probably knew you were going to be able to get Michael Penix Jr. at 8 back in January. And then you go out and spend the, you know, what, $180 million and $100 million guaranteed on Kirk Cousins. And Michael Penix Jr. is not going to see the field if Kirk stays healthy for the next 2 or 3 years. And I still think after year 3 is when they finally can get a little bit of relief. But when you did everything you did this offseason, signing Mooney, going out and getting Moore from Arizona, building this roster up to compete, to me, in one of the weakest divisions in the NFL, the NFC South, and you put yourself in position to win that division, but yet, with the 8th overall pick, there's a lot of significant talent there. Whether I thought they could use an edge rusher, or potentially a corner, or whatever need to help take that team to the next level. And then they took the quarterback. Now, Michael Penix Jr., to me, is a winner and a loser. He's a loser because he's not going to be able to compete for a starting job and may not see the field unless Kirk Cousins gets hurt. He's a winner because he's going to get a contract that's fully guaranteed at about $22.4 million, and he's going to get about $13 or $14 million on signing bonus. So that's a lot of cash to go into one position, and especially after you – now, if it was like at the bottom of the first, you know, everyone wants to say, well, like what Love did with Aaron Rodgers, or even back with Favre and they drafted Aaron Rodgers to replace Favre, that's a little different. But when you're in a top eight and you've just spent that kind of money on a veteran quarterback to take you over the hump, I think is where everybody got a little confused.
And what did you think of the NFC North opponents, their draft? Minnesota wound up with a couple of good picks in the first round. They got the quarterback of the future. They got themselves a pass rusher. That's kind of making up for players they lost. I thought a couple of corners for Detroit, they did pretty well. They got the kid from Alabama. And then Green Bay, you know, they always do okay.
You don't think they do good? You just think they're okay?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is that Bakhtiari's replacement? Is he starting right away at Jordan Morgan?
He's just okay.
Yeah. That's what I said, okay, right?
Okay, yeah. See, why don't you be the analyst and let me co-host with all?
Come on in.
We can call you. After the draft, and you can give your opinion.
I'm sure go on about that Potter,
Chicago
buddy.
Lands waiting to hear what you say.
Wow. Well, break it down. What's your take on the NFC North?
I thought the Vikings, I really liked Dallas Turner. I thought he was my number one edge rusher coming off. So they got aggressive to move up, and they had to replace Danielle Hunter, DJ Wanham, with Brian Flores as defense. In order to help that secondary, they have to get pressure on the quarterback. And they were aggressive in free agents, signing Bernard from Houston and Van Ginkle from Miami. The Packers, I can really tell, they went defense and they went to a more athletic defense, especially with Jeff Hafley coming in, the former Boston College head coach, who's their new defensive coordinator. Edge Cooper, to me, was the best linebacker and has the best range and can do all three phases, rush the passer, play the run, needs to get a little bit under control, can cover and pass. And then Javon Buller, to me, the safety out of Georgia, reminded me a little bit of Brian Branch, who Detroit took last year, who had a really good year for them out of Alabama. So I thought they, you know, they had a lot of picks, so we'll see how that all develops. The Morgan kid, I was like you, Molly, just okay on. And then the Lions, they do what the Lions do. They just take really good football players. And two of the biggest needs, especially since Cam Sutton, you know, they had to release because of the off-field issues this past offseason. They attacked it with two really good corners. So I imagine Aaron Glenn's going to be happy, and their defense, their pass defense especially, should hopefully improve.
Rick, how did you have the top three receivers that went in the top 10 ranked going into the draft, and which one of those three, based on where they're fitting now, will have the best rookie season?
Well, boy. I love Marvin Harrison Jr. Reminded me of Larry Fitzgerald. I didn't like the way he handled the offseason or the pre-draft process. I talked to a lot of teams, and about half and half had Malik Nabers ahead of him. Malik Nabers, to me, is the most explosive with the ball in his hands after the catch. Big-time playmaker. He reminded me he is a better natural receiver, but that type of explosiveness as a playmaker with the ball in his hand, like when we drafted Percy Harvin, except Malik is a much more polished receiver at this point. And then Rome Odunze, who made the biggest jump from 22 to 23, incredible athlete. I think he wins 50-50 balls. He's going to be a big-time red zone threat. The thing why I loved about this kid is his character. And when you hear stories about him staying at the combine, trying to beat his three-cone time that he wanted to beat, and the janitor had to come in and kick him out because he had to shut the lights off to sweep up the floor for the next day. You can't find competitors like that. That's why I love Rome Odunze. I think all three of them have a chance to be really, really good. And compared to I remember when we got the Justin Jeffersons and the CD Lamb, that was a pretty good Ayuk, Brandon Ayuk, was also out of that draft. So I think all three of these guys have a chance to have major impact for their teams as a rookie.
Great stuff, Rick. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, Molly. Yeah, I'll be looking for that check again, you owe me.
It's on the way. I told you.
Yeah, it was on the way. It's been on the way since the 90s when I was up there.
That's right. You're the best.
Well, I know. I understand that.
You will get yours, maybe not in this lifetime.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.